There's justifiably so much attention on the baby while you're pregnant, and very little on the support systems your body has for sustaining your pregnancy. Today, we're starting a new series where we will dive into all the different changes your body undergoes during pregnancy. I'm Katie Bueller, a licensed midwife, and today we're learning all about the placenta. This is Preggy Pals, episode 99.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant. And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit! I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online on-the-go support group and resource for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. If you haven't joined the Preggy Pals Club, then you're missing out on exclusive interviews and our bonus content, transcripts, and also special giveaways and discounts. See our website, www.preggypals.com, for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by going to your iTunes or Android marketplace and downloading our free app. Now our producer, Sunny, is going to tell us more about our virtual panelist program.
Yes, so if you can't join us here in San Diego where we record our shows, we would love to have you join us as a virtual panelist. So this is what you need to do. You can like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. And if you are following along on Twitter, the hashtag is PreggyPalsVP, which stands for virtual panelists. And we're going to be sending out some of the questions that we're going to be asking the panelists here in the studio. We'll do it prior to a taping. We may even do some on the taping day. And we want to get your feedback. We want you to be part of the conversation, to contribute that way. You can comment, and if we use one of your comments, then you can win a free 1 month subscription to the Preggy Pals Club. So it's just another great way to get involved.
Thanks, Sunny.
Yeah.
Well, let's go around the studio and introduce everybody. I'll introduce, start with myself. I'm Annie Laird. I'm 35 years old. By day, I'm a government contractor as a teacher. And on the weekends, I am a Preggy Pals podcast host and producer. I don't have a due date for once, so I'm not pregnant. I just have my postpartum belly. So that's you know, me and yoga pants were tight.
So I got in so many ways. Yeah.
Stretchy pants are my friend. Yeah. Yeah, I got three kids, all little girls. So I'm in the 2 under 2 club, which I know, Sunny, you had me in like twice there, so I just don't even I don't even get sympathy with you in the studio anymore. I'm like, oh, I have 2 under 2, and like, oh, that must be so hard having 2 under 2. Try 4 under 4.
This is where I get to top Annie and say I'm a mom of 4 under 4.
Yeah. No. So I got an 8-year-old. She's helpful usually. She's a great kid. And then I have my almost 2-year-old who is hell bent on destroying my house most days. So right now this is my break. Talking to all of you and recording this, so I am having a great time. Oh, and then I also have a baby, so who could forget my baby? She's like 4 months and like 18 pounds. Sunny, I put her...
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I had to do today? I had to pack away the 6 to 9 month clothes today. How ridiculous
that is. That is crazy.
She's in 9 month clothes. The kid has jowls upon jowls. I don't know, but she spits up too, so then that's, you know, going back to the yoga pants. Oh, I put on nice pants. Right. She's going to spit up on them, but yeah, she's a... solid. She's like, wow, sumo wrestler baby. Yeah.
Wow.
She's awesome. So
So I told you guys a little bit about me. Mommy of 4 under 4. So 2 boys, 2 girls. My oldest is 3 and a half. My middle guy is almost 2. And then I have identical twin girls who are 3 and a half months old. So
so good today.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, like, they're in the
next
studio.
Room. And it's like every other episode I go in and see how they're doing. They're totally fine. I just feed them milk every now and then and the kids just sleep. So
yeah.
Knock on wood. It stays that way.
You know, when I was pregnant with my first, when I had my first, I just thought it was like the hardest job in the world. I really did.
And
it was like, then she grew into a toddler. I'm like, oh, this is the hard part. You know, like when they're non-mobile like that, it's like you hold them and give them love and food and like, that's it. That's so, you
know,
easy.
What I think is so interesting about motherhood is you look back and you're like, you know, when it was your first child, everything was difficult, right?
Yeah.
And now a baby comes along, you're like, I can handle this, you know? Mm-hmm. But it goes along with that thing that, you know, you grow with your kids. You grow as a parent as your child is growing. I can't imagine having a teenager now, but by the time my boys are teenagers, I'll be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's just one of those learning, you know, you got a curve, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of learn as you go.
Yep. All right, today on Preggy Pals, we'll look at a fun news headlines. And the news headline that we're looking at today, this happened in Florida. This was actually on, this was national news here. This was an ABC News. So the headline of the news article is, Dad says he delivered baby after doctor and nurse fled. I love that. The dad says that he delivered the baby. Like, there's some question about, you know, who delivered the baby here. So, yeah, what happened was it's in Boynton Beach, Florida. And so, Zaire Ali, he went to the hospital. It was an induction, so his wife went to the hospital to get hooked up and get her induction drip, and so everything was going just very smoothly with the birth. They said, oh, you have to wait because there's another mom who had an emergency C-section. And so the doctor said, oh, well, you know, we'll just turn off the drip of Pitocin and you just won't have the baby. And so the doctor goes off to do this emergency C-section on someone else, on another woman. The obstetrician is quoted as saying, it must have happened very rapidly because I was only in the C-section for 30 minutes, adding that a nurse should have stayed with the couple but was likely, quote-unquote, nervous about being there alone. By the time she being the nurse, was back in the room, the baby was in the bed, is what the obstetrician says. I can't even imagine that, of, you know, nobody being in the room, and this is why you go to the hospital.
How does that happen? This article doesn't even make sense to me because, I mean, you know, even if one OB left, I mean, there's still the nurses on the floor. I'm sure it was not the most pleasurable experience delivering a baby, so I'm sure she was making noise. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And it doesn't say anything in the article.
Maybe she had metal. You've seen the hospital delivery rooms, right? Like, close the door. It's somewhat soundproof. Maybe she wasn't that loud. And the nurse was not there, right?
Yeah.
So they just didn't know. And Dad wound up catching the baby. It went fast.
Well, what Dad says is, my wife was screaming. The dad told Palm
Beach
Post.
Yeah, someone would have heard.
The nurse says, you have to wait. So... wow. I can't
that
even...
sounds
the
like
nurse says you'd have to wait.
Yeah.
Close your legs.
That sounds to me like that's like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You have to catch your own baby in the hospital.
Well, with my second baby, that was a little bit different situation, though. My doula and I, you know, she was helping me with some, you know, back labor that I was in, and I was at transfer home birth, and my water's released, and there was meconium, so the baby's first bowel movement. And so I just didn't want a lot of interference with what was going on. I knew that the nurses saw it. You know, so a little bit different situation with my second daughter with this one. It sounds like they really wanted the nurse there, and I really didn't want the nurse there. So I started pushing and didn't tell anybody. I caught eye with my doula care, and she knew what I was doing. She wouldn't want to be responsible, so she told the nurses. She's pushing, and they're like, oh, no, she's not. You know, it's just, maybe they didn't know because nobody was counting to 10. I mean, how could someone push a baby out if I wasn't counting to 10? So, yeah.
It's required, you know, to push a baby out. You got to count to 10.
This can't happen until somebody in this room counts to 10.
Right.
So, see, maybe he should have not counted to 10.
I don't know.
Then the baby wouldn't have come.
Right.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today we're starting a brand new series about body changes during pregnancy, and we're kicking it off with talking all about the placenta, what it is, what it does, possible complications with it, that type of thing. Joining us here today in the studio is Katie Bueller. She's a licensed midwife. She's the owner of Birth Local in San Diego. Welcome to Preggy Pals, Katie.
Hi, ladies. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you. Now, what is the placenta? I mean, as you mentioned in your intro, there's so much focus on the baby. And then after the birth, you know, the mom's holding the baby and so excited. Mm. And the care provider is like, okay, you got to push again.
Right. Like, and the mom's like, what do you mean? What do I have to push?
No one tells you that.
Yeah.
No one tells you that.
No one wants to break the bad news that you're going to have to do something else. You just want to be done.
Haven't I done enough?
Haven't I done enough?
Yeah.
What? I have to push again?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's really interesting, everybody thinks that the placenta is the piece that plops out at the end, right?
Yeah.
You push, it plops out, you're done.
Mm-hmm. As Ina May Gaskin says, there's no bones in it, so it's much easier.
There's no bones in it. No. Yeah. And it's, you know, for those of you who are listening who haven't pushed out a placenta yet, it's much easier than the baby. It mostly falls out on its own, but it takes a little push. And it's hard for moms to give that push because they're tired and the body doesn't have as much weight in it. So, you know. It's not comfortable, but it's not like pushing out a baby. But, you know, that thing that plops out at the end is not actually the placenta. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
What is it then?
It's half of the placenta.
Okay.
Yeah. So the placenta, by definition, is actually a combination of the mother and the baby. And the organ that grows, by definition, the placenta is the organ that grows within the mom that is part maternal tissue and part fetal tissue. It is by definition half and half. So it's much more convenient to call the placenta, the thing that falls out at the end, the placenta.
But that's
right?
Only half of it.
But it's actually only half of it.
Oh.
In defining the placenta, what's really interesting is that it's like interlocking mom and baby tissue, right? And it becomes an organ of exchange at about 10 weeks of pregnancy. It's basically this amazingly profound, underappreciated organ that functions as a lung, a heart, and a liver, and an endocrine system, because it not only exchanges oxygen, it also exchanges hormones and actually creates hormones and metabolizes liver, hormones and waste products from baby and mom so that they can exchange across to one another. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But just to kind of change your perception of like what is a placenta, and it's also the membranes, right? The bag that baby hangs out in for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And so in a little bit we'll talk more about the bag, but just to kind of give you the impression that it's actually like locked into mom, and when the placenta releases, then mom's body has to close down all those places where it was combined with the placenta, and then she's left with inside of herself a kind of a wound that then, as we know, has to heal over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
So the bleeding that happens afterwards, that's basically the placenta site.
It is the placenta site.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is the placenta site. And
I always thought it was just the lining of the uterus, yeah. But it's primarily
the bleeding from the placental site.
Wow.
Yeah. There is a shedding of the whole lining, just like we have at our periods, but primarily the bleeding after the birth. And that's why it's so heavy, because you've had that placenta that's attached there with all those necessary blood vessels giving all that nutrient to mom and baby.
That all needs to get shut down.
And it literally, when it shuts down, all of the veins start to close. Mm-hmm. And that's the shutting down process. All those little veins and arteries have to shut down. And that's one of the reasons the uterus starts to clamp down after the baby is born. You get those big cramps. That's because the uterus is making itself smaller to close those blood vessels.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fascinating process.
As you're explaining this, I'm always fascinated. I just grew a southern accent about what the body can do and does on its own, especially when we're creating human life.
Right.
Like, and we don't even know our bodies are doing this. We are completely oblivious, yet our bodies are working overtime and doing everything that needs to be done.
And I think it's amazing, Katie, you brought it up, of that it's a organ that the body makes an organ solely for the use of pregnancy.
It's an organ.
Yeah.
That you create and then shed, essentially.
Yeah.
Every time you have a baby.
And actually, the thing about the placenta that's really unique, that if I could share that with women, it would be to say, you know, the heart and lungs, like we are already amazed by the right by our own bodies, by the fact that we can breathe in and get oxygen to our blood cells, and then those cells go to your heart, and the heart pumps the blood all the way through your body. I mean, the placenta is basically doing all of those functions in, on a mini scale. It's a little tiny liver, liver, heart, lungs combo. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when is the placenta? When is that formed during the pregnancy? Then.
Well, what do you think? This is the classic chicken and the egg question. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Now?
Yes.
Really? Well,
is it, right? Think about it. Like, when does the baby form and when does the placenta form? And which came first, the placenta or the baby?
Yeah.
It's I realized that in preparing for this show. It's the question of the chicken and the egg.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would think the placenta would form first because what would the baby go in? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, now this gets into a debate on when is it a baby,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When does a zygote become a baby?
Well, right, and that's a discussion for another panel.
Sure.
Yeah.
But so the embryo, as you know, travels down the fallopian tube.
Right.
And at that point, we do call it an embryo.
Okay.
It's called a blastocyst at that stage.
Okay.
And then the blastocyst becomes the embryo, but it's in that moment. The blastocyst embryo comes down and it says, oh, look, there's that nice, soft, cakey wall that I want to attach to. And it clings onto mom's wall. And basically, that's the start of the formation between the baby, the placenta, and the mom.
Okay.
Right? So mom's body starts to transform as that little cell starts to dig in and make a home for itself in her body. And then as that transformation happens, the placenta starts getting formed. And like you said, it's sort of like the placenta comes first. You're pretty close.
Yeah.
But basically the baby is the inside, if you will, and the placenta is the outside of that cellular mass that starts to form the uterine wall. The structure then becomes a baby inside of a placenta right from the very beginning.
So it's kind of happening at once.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The same time.
Right.
Are the hormones that are associated with growing the placenta, is that what causes or what we think causes morning sickness?
Yes, mostly. So there are a few hormones that we think are contributing to morning sickness, especially the high elevated levels of estrogen and human chorionic gonadotropin. So the HCG is the one that we think really contributes to morning sickness the most, because as you guys may or may not have had in your pregnancies, the worst time of morning sickness is between 10 and 12 weeks, right? Mm. Well, that's the time when the placenta is kicking out the most HCG to keep the pregnancy alive, and until it really establishes into the uterine wall, which starts to happen after about 12 weeks.
Now, at 12 weeks, then what happens at that point? Why can the HCG drop off and we still have a healthy pregnancy at that point? Because 12 weeks is really kind of, isn't like 12 to 14 weeks where you're like, okay, we got a solid baby, we have, not viable outside the womb, but,
right,
you know, this pregnancy is probably going to make it.
Right. Yeah. And then because by then the hormonal interactions have started to happen where like the hormones of the placenta have started contributing to mom's body. And so she's starting to make some of the hormones. The placenta is making some of the hormones. And so you don't have this one central source like the placenta, which is trying to kick out that HCG so hard to keep everything going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how big does the placenta get towards the end of a pregnancy then?
That's a great question. What do you guys think?
Are we talking about pounds?
Yeah, I'm saying, how about a pound? 2 pounds, maybe? 2 pounds. I'm going with 2 pounds.
So wait, this is without baby in it, obviously.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Just if you held it in your hands, what does it weigh?
I don't know. Mine was extremely big for the last one.
Twins.
Because
the twins.
Yeah.
And they shared the same placenta. So I had one big old placenta.
Yeah, because they were identical.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to weigh more than that.
You think like five?
I think like, yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, am I wrong? My way, I'm totally.
Annie's a lot closer, so
I'm trying to blame my weight gain on something.
If you have twins, you might get a little closer to 5 pounds.
That'd be a lot of placenta pills.
Yes, it would. Yes, twin. Yes, if you have twins, you should definitely encapsulate your placenta because you'll get twice as much as the average bear, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the answer is that technically, as a midwife or a doctor, we say, oh, the placenta should weigh about 1/6 of the baby. So if your baby weighs 8.5 pounds, you would expect the placenta to weigh about a pound and a half.
Oh, I can't do heavy math like that.
I can't either. Yeah. I had to do it before I came in. Yeah. But so basically placentas weigh, like you said, somewhere between a pound or 2 pounds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I want to put a plug in for your nutrition, because what I really see as an encapsulator and as a midwife and doula is that, you know, the healthier that mom eats, greens and proteins and really taking care of herself, the better the placenta turns out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could have an 8.5 pound baby, but have a 2 pound placenta because mom is eating so well. Mm-hmm. So nutrition, I mean, you see the nutrition in the placenta so clearly. It's amazing.
Well, and I have a question on that too. With the amniotic sac, do you find that what contributes to a stronger sac?
Oh God, that's such a good question.
Because with my second
pregnancy, I'd love to tell you.
Because with my with my second baby, with Lucy, the midwife was trying to get like a
the
purchase.
Amni-hook?
Yeah, she was trying to get a purchase on it, but it just wasn't happening. That it was very flush against the baby's head. And then when my doula was also my encapsulator, and she said she had to grind it like 3 times because it was so just strong.
What did you do, Annie?
I don't know.
That's the question. You should market that.
What was
whatever
I
that is.
Ice cream.
Bottle it and sell it, Annie.
Yeah. Odules.
I think that's what your listeners want to hear is the ice cream.
Probably not. It was probably more the greens that I was eating, or maybe just high protein. So I don't know.
So what we understand, or what's been being passed around in the midwifery community that I'm in, is bioflavonoids are the key to a strong bag. Did you eat a lot of oranges in your pregnancy?
Like citrus.
Mm-hmm. The pith on the citrus is high in bioflavonoids, and that will contribute to having a strong bag.
No, talking about nutrition, how do the nutrients get from the mom's blood into the baby? How does that happen? Because the bloods don't mix, do they? I mean, because baby and mom can have 2 different blood types, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when in my mind, it just makes sense that baby and mom would be like on one circuit, right?
Right.
Mom's blood becomes baby's blood becomes mom's blood. But that's not at all how it actually works. So it's really interesting how they don't share blood. The developing placenta forms a barrier between mom and embryo at around 10 weeks of pregnancy. So it actually makes a barrier. And this barrier, like we said, is like an organ system. So mom's blood stays on her side. Baby's blood, which is influenced by its DNA, right? So dad could have a different blood type. That could be the blood type of baby. Baby's blood is on the other side. And in the placenta, the blood doesn't mix. What mixes is the nutrients. So some of the components, like oxygen, go across quite easily through the... And it's not the red blood cell that gets transferred, right? It's the oxygen that moves across the placenta. And other things get generated within the placenta, like hormones and amino acids. And then other things, like glucose, it's a gradient. And those things get transferred across the placenta according to what the baby needs, and also according to the availability from mom.
Okay.
Right? So the placenta really is an organ, as opposed to a place where blood just goes from mom to baby.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting stuff.
I have a question. So when you say it goes across the placenta, does that mean that it goes through? Like, what do you mean across the placenta?
So the placenta is, like, again, like an organ. So
right.
It knows. It says, okay, I'm going to take this. And it's almost like it has a brain unto itself. And it says, okay, I'm going to take the oxygen. And that goes through this way.
I see.
I'm going to take the protein that she ate. And it's going to go through on this in this way. And so it takes all the things that you eat and drink and transforms them according to its own wisdom.
But it can just kind of go through it once it says, okay, you can come in, you can't. You can come in, you can't.
Right, and then
thing,
it some,
right?
And it transforms a lot
right.
of them.
Okay.
Actually transforms, like, the glucose that mom eats, it uses some of that to go to certain properties
right.
for the baby and some of it to go to other places.
Right.
So it's actually transforming the properties that she eats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about transferring over different nutrients, does it filter out anything? Like if mom drinks like, you know, alcohol or like smokes a cigarette or even like a nicotine patch or something
right.
like that, is there any way for it, or does it go straight through?
Well, that's
to
the
baby?
Thing, right? It's this really wise organ. So, and over the millennia, it has figured out how to give the baby what it needs, oxygen and protein and to take things away from the baby too, like carbon dioxide gets taken out of, you know, baby releases it through the umbilical artery and it goes out to mom, and mom gets rid of it through her bloodstream, right? But for some reason, the placenta didn't, in all of its wisdom, figure out how to filter out caffeine and alcohol and nicotine. So if you smoke a cigarette, you drink a glass of vodka, or you have a tall frappuccino from Starbucks, all of those things are going to be going to your baby. It doesn't know how to take those things and make them better for your baby. Mm-hmm. So your baby just gets that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same with narcotic drugs, for example. Some women choose those in labor. I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad choice. It's a choice that you might make at a time, but you should know that.
It does go to the baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about possible complications involving the placenta. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking about placentas. Katie Bueller is our expert. Now, Katie, what is placenta previa?
Placenta previa refers to the time when the placenta covers the cervical os, right? So the cervical opening is where the baby comes out, and the placenta can sometimes cover that. And that's a pretty dangerous condition because if the cervix starts to open and there's those open blood vessels from the placenta there, you could have significant amount of bleeding, right? Because like we've been saying, the placenta is very vascular. It's attached to something. So if it's attached at the cervix, you could have a significant amount of bleeding and it would be very dangerous.
So for a woman that had this condition, how would this be diagnosed? Like through an ultrasound?
Just through ultrasound.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if a woman had this condition, the doctor or midwife would definitely not want a vaginal birth for this mom.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she wouldn't probably even want her to go into labor from what you're saying. If
That's
the cervix starts to open, then, you know, you're risking a lot of bleeding at that point.
That's right.
Yeah.
We definitely don't. No one thinks it's a good idea to start labor with a placenta previa.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, some women do have a partial placenta previa.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe, you know, early on in the pregnancy, maybe at 20 weeks when they do the 20-week ultrasound, your placenta is close to the os. And that's a bit of a different story.
Okay. Now, what is a placental abruption?
That's when a part of the placenta or all of the placenta detaches before the baby is born. Very dangerous condition. It can happen that just a tiny piece of it comes off the wall. And like we said, the mother and the baby are attached right there at the wall, right, through the placenta. So if a part of it detaches, there's all those arteries and veins that are trying to create blood flow. And so it could cause a significant bleed. Mm-hmm. That's what we hope doesn't happen. And there are signs that we can look for that if that's happening, especially bleeding in late pregnancy could be a sign of a partial abruption.
And we're talking like, not like, you know, spotting. We're talking like bright red bleeding.
Yeah. But, you know, a very small abruption could involve, 2 to 4 tablespoons of blood a day. It could be a relatively small amount of blood. But it would be a sign to you that you would want to ask your midwife or physician for their assistance, for mm-hmm. sure, for mm-hmm. them to check in on you. And more rarely than that is the full placenta abruption, where the entire placenta comes off of the uterus before the baby is born. And that's an obstetric emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to get like emergency C-section, general.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how severe it was, but a friend of mine had that happen. And thankfully, she was full term. And she just woke up one morning and there was blood and right away they took her in and there was C-section. The baby was fine. Nothing wrong with the baby, but
wow.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
But it was still, again, I don't know if it was a partial or I don't think it was a full, but
with the full, you wouldn't have much time because that's the whole inner exchange. What you're saying.
How much time would you have?
Like 5 or 6 minutes
mm-hmm.
before the baby.
Potentially. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, okay. This was not a full then.
It was probably not a complete, but a partial abruption.
Mm-hmm. If
it caused enough bleeding.
I mean, can you imagine?
To...
I mean, I would be totally freaking out if I was practically full term and I woke up to lots of blood.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What causes that? Do we know?
We don't. It mostly is completely unexplained.
That's so frustrating. Because you want to avoid it, right? You want to avoid it.
Someone might think like, okay, that's why you don't want to necessarily ride a motorcycle or fall down when you're pregnant, get into a car accident. That those things have actually been pretty safely navigated by a lot of women who didn't go on to have placenta abruption.
Right.
But that's the scare of that fall is that something could happen to the placenta
mm-hmm.
or the baby.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Katie, for joining us today. For more information about our expert, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Katie is going to share with us her experiences working in a birth house in Japan and what they do with the placenta. You aren't going to want to miss this. To join our club, visit our website, www.preggypals.com.
Hello, Preggy Pals. I am Cynthia Caden, founder of Trick My Crib Nursery and Kids Room Designs, where I help your nursery dreams come true. I'm excited to talk to you today about saving money in the baby's room by getting designer looks for less. When you enter the world of nursery decor, you soon find that just because it's for a little baby doesn't mean it has little price tag. Ideally, we all want our baby's room to be perfectly posh, and it's totally possible without overspending. The key is shopping around and not buying the first thing you fall in love with at the expensive boutique. Go to the upscale stores to get ideas. I recommend taking pictures of those special items you really love or making a list with the details that made those items catch your eye. Then go home and shop online. Websites like eBay and Craigslist are invaluable to the bargain shopper. Usually you can see pictures of the item, ask questions about the item, and maybe even negotiate pricing. Sometimes you can find the exact same expensive boutique item for a lot less. If you are unable to find the exact item, you can find something similar. It may not have the brand name, but if it has most of the characteristics of the expensive version and it's a fraction of the price, does it really matter? Also, don't narrow your search to only baby items. I love to use home items in the nursery, and often you can find them for less because there are more sources. I also recommend visiting your local resale shops and garage sales. You will be amazed at the treasures you can find and the fun you will have. I do personal shopping as part of my flat fee design service. Please like Trick My Crib on Facebook and visit my page often for decorating ideas. Thanks for listening to today's money-saving tips, and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips in the future.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Twin Talks, for parents of multiples. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.